I'd like to say that we're glad to be here with you tonight. We're glad to have a chance to fellowship. And we've been up this way since right after the ministering there at the church. We ministered in Monroe this morning. And then we came up and ministered for our brother Nick here. I guess it was around about 4:30, wasn't it, brother? About 4:30. We ministered over the radio there for Brother Nick's at his program. He has 30 minutes on a program here in Cleveland, and we ministered for about 30 minutes there. And then we're back here tonight to just try to do a little something for Jesus. So I'd like to say we're glad to see you here tonight, and I hope that you'll take a few minutes and worship the Lord. You know, I say this so often, and I'd like to say it tonight. A lot of people don't have time to serve God anymore. They don't have time to worship the Lord. But I read in the Bible where a man gave God just a little of his time, and God gave him 15 extra years to live on this earth. A lot of people already passed on, and they are in the graves because they were so busy, had so many things to do that they didn't have time to serve the Lord. And they were just so busy they couldn't go to church, and so busy they couldn't stay very long when they did go to church. And so finally they lost their lives, and they're in the grave tonight because they were so busy. Others, like it was with Brother Thomas. Brother Thomas was out here the other night, about 85 years old. I noticed that Brother Armstrong, about 95 years old when he passed on. Some people live 80, 90, 100 years and still going strong. Caleb at 120 was going strong. Or at 80, 90. Moses at 120. So then, because they gave a little time to God, God gave a little time to them. And the Bible said, your strength shall be as your day. If you walk with God, then your strength will be as your day. If it's 50 years, you'll have the same strength. 30 years, the same strength. 80 years, the same strength. Caleb, at about 80 years old, went out to fight a battle, took a city. Abraham fought a war and won it. So see, it depends on who you give your strength to and your time to. You give it to God, you get a return. You take 10 minutes for God, He may give you 15 years. You take 10 minutes away from God, He may take 15 years off of your life. You shorten your life, your days, by your disobedience. The more you disobey, the more you lose your life. And sad to say, you lose eternal life. Well, we're here for one reason, and that is to magnify Christ, to love the Lord, to magnify the Lord, to lift up His lovely name and tell about His glory. The Bible speaks of the glory of God, and you and I want to be partakers of that glory. And the only way that we can be partakers of that glory is that we become one with the Lord Jesus. Or that is, we must be baptized into that one body by one Spirit, and then we become a member of that lovely body of Jesus. That's the only way that you can be partakers of the glory of God. The Bible teaches that Jesus alone was made heir to the glory of God. Just Jesus alone. No one else. The Bible said that the promise was not unto seeds as of many, but seeds as of one, even unto Christ. So then He alone is heir to the glory of God. And in that He is the only one that is heir to the glory of God, then that means that the only way I can be partakers is that I become part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then tonight we're here to glorify God, to lift up His name and to tell Him how much we love Him and to appreciate the things that He's done for us. I want to read just a little bit from St. Mark. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Read to you just a little bit, and then we'll talk to you about the wonderful things of Jesus. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth unto Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heaven open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast. And the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Right here in the 15th verse it said, "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel." Reading from the book of St. Mark, chapter 1, the 15th verse, Jesus tells us here, or he told those people in his day, he said, "The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled." Now then the question arises, what does he mean, the time is fulfilled? He said, "The time is fulfilled." Here it has been hundreds of years that people have come and preached the gospel. Or that is, they came to preach what they understood of the law of Moses. And as they preached, they never preached a message like this. Never at any time did they ever say the time is fulfilled. They preached as in the days of Noah. Noah preached. But never did anyone say the time is fulfilled. And then all of a sudden, here comes a man from somewhere. And this man, all of a sudden preaching, he cries out. And he says, "The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled." They didn't know what he was saying. "The time is fulfilled. What are you saying, Jesus? The time is fulfilled. What do you mean the time is fulfilled?" The Bible said, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He sent him forth in the fullness of time that he might gather all things in heaven and in earth into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ." This is what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, "At last, I'm here. At last, I'm here. The time has come. I'm here with you now." And he said, "The time is fulfilled." All of those things that Moses spoke of, all of those things that Elijah spoke of, and the great men of old, he said, "At last, the time is fulfilled. I'm here. This is the fullness of time. God said he would do this in the fullness of time. Now the time is fulfilled." And he began to say, "Because the time is fulfilled," then he said, "Repent, every one of you, repent, repent." He began to preach, "Repent, because the time was fulfilled."
He was saying, it's time for you to repent because the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Can you get a hold of that tonight? The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Never a man preached like Jesus. Never a man spoke with the authority that Jesus spoke with. The Bible said never man spake like this man, for his words are with authority. Even the king, when he would send out soldiers, he would send them soldiers out there. And he'd say, you go get that man and you bring that man here. But just as quick as those people got in the presence of Jesus and they listened to Jesus talk, they'd say, oh my God, never man spake like this man. And soon they returned up to the king and they didn't have Jesus. And he'd say, are you also deceived? They said, king, never man spake like this man. Never a man spake like this man. And so then the Bible said his words are with authority and he commandeth the unclean spirits and they do obey him. So then it was such a wonderful thing. Jesus preached the sermon. The time is fulfilled. They heard Jesus preach. They watched this man of Galilee as he walked along there in Capernaum and along the shores of Galilee. I'd walked that same path. I've been right down through there. I'm sure some of you have. Right down where Jesus walked. And as he walked along there, just a common down-to-earth fellow just like we are here, Jesus kept saying, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. And they would say, what do you mean the time is fulfilled? Jesus would say, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, folks. Repent, folks. And, of course, they didn't understand what he was saying. You know, they never preached repentance in the days of Moses. They never preached repentance back there in the days of Noah. They didn't know what Jesus was talking about, repent. But he kept saying, the time is at hand. The time is at hand. Oh, what is it, Jesus? What do you mean the time is at hand? What is the difference between your message and Moses' message? What do you mean the time is at hand? But see, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. The time is at hand. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. See, the kingdom of God is here, folks. Do you realize tonight the kingdom of God is here? After all the many years of the preachers preaching, from the time that Jesus brought this great message into the earth and said that the time is fulfilled, are you aware of the fact that the time is fulfilled? Are you aware that you are living in the days when the time is fulfilled? And when the kingdom of God is at hand, do you realize that the kingdom of God is not way off somewhere yonder, but the kingdom of God is right here? Jesus said, folks, the kingdom of God is right here. It's right here at hand. See, this kingdom is here. The Jews kept saying, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, the kingdom of God, don't come by observation. He said, you don't look and say, here's the kingdom, or there's the kingdom. He said, that's not the way it is, folks. He said, the kingdom is here. Don't you see the kingdom? I ask you tonight, do you see the kingdom? The kingdom of God is here tonight. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's not way off. It's at hand, but do you see the kingdom tonight? Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not. The Bible said, lest at any time your eyes should come open, or your ears should come open, and you should hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church, and you should see what the Father's doing. Jesus would just calmly walk along, and he said, I do always the things I see my Father do. Always doing the things of the Father. And they watched him. All the time he was doing the things of the Father. How wonderful it was, though they didn't see the Father. Yet Jesus said, I see the Father. No man has seen the Father but the Son. He said, I see the Father, but you don't see the Father. You don't see the Father. And said, the things I'm doing, I do them not of myself. He said, but this is what the Father is doing within me. I can do nothing of myself. He said, but whatever I see my Father do, that's what I do. Are you watching the Father tonight? Are you doing what the Father tells you to do tonight? Are you walking day by day, honoring the Father, watching the Father, looking at the Father, doing the things that the Father tells you to do? I ask you tonight, are you doing that tonight? If you're not doing that, then you're not pleasing God. If you're not doing that, then you're walking in the flesh. You can't please God if you're walking in the flesh. As long as I walk in my intellectual, as long as I walk in my human reasoning, as long as I walk in my own mind, then I cannot please God because I'm walking in the flesh. But when I get in the mind of Spirit and walk in the mind of Spirit, even the mind of Christ, then I'm walking in the Spirit. I've withdrawn from the flesh and I'm doing the things that please my Heavenly Father. You understand what I'm saying? So then this great man of God, he was preaching. He was a prophet. He was a preacher. He was a teacher. There he was preaching. The kingdom of God is at hand. Here we are many years later. Many years later. Here we are. Do we know that the kingdom of God is at hand? Folks, you've got to admit that the religious world of today knows nothing about the kingdom of God being at hand. They don't understand that the kingdom of God is at hand. You would say, Brother Pike, I know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Why then do we not act like the kingdom of God is at hand? You mean to tell me that we know that the kingdom of God is at hand and we still do the things that we do, running up and down the streets, going to and fro, and we still have the same this kind of a mind, and we say that we know that the kingdom of God is at hand? You know that you don't know that the kingdom of God is at hand. You couldn't possibly believe that the kingdom of God was at hand and do the things you're doing. And let me tell you something. When you begin to recognize that the kingdom of God is at hand, you will start repenting. You'll start changing your life. And that'll be a difference in your life. There'll be a difference in your approach to life. You'll take a different outlook. You won't think the same way. When you begin to realize the kingdom of God is at hand, the first thing that you'll do is begin to repent and begin to change your life. Because when you know that the kingdom of God is at hand, you know that the appearance of Christ Jesus is there. And you know that God is in your presence. Would you say that God was in your presence tonight? Someone would say, well, I don't know, Brother Pike. The Bible said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So if Christ is here tonight, then the kingdom of God is here tonight. Then, brethren, what are we doing? Why are we doing the way that we're doing? Why aren't we following Christ in a close, holy walk? Why aren't we repenting of our sins? Why are we turning away from the things of the world? Why are we so much engrossed in the things of this world? Why are we so much interested in the things of this world if we believe the kingdom of God is at hand? Why is it we're not looking for the kingdom? Why is it we're not searching after the things of the kingdom of God and conforming to the things of the kingdom of God? Why is it that we're going hard after the things of the world? More of the things of the world. Over and over, we look for the things of the world. We indoctrinate ourselves in the things of the world. We send our children to college, to school, to try to get more involved in the things of the world. And we're always trying to get a hold of money, prestige and position, offices and things in the world, instead of trying to press into the kingdom of God. The Bible said men press their way into the kingdom of God. It takes a pressing thing to get into the kingdom of God. It takes an effort to get into the kingdom of God. You press against demons. You press against the ungodly thoughts that plague your mind from day to day. You press against feelings. You press against people. You press against circumstances. You press against oppositions of all kinds because you're trying to get into the kingdom of God. Are you doing that tonight? Are you doing that tonight? Are you making any efforts tonight to press your way into the kingdom of God? Are you any farther along in the kingdom of God tonight than you was yesterday? Are you any farther in the kingdom of God this year than you was last year? Have you transformed more in your mind into the kingdom of God and into things of God and into the mind of Christ than you did last year? Are you doing anything to press in, to get into that perfect place with God? Have you spent any time in fasting, any time in studying, any time in self-denial, any time in conformity to the ways of holiness? Are you getting any closer to God? Are you more in the kingdom of God today than you was yesterday? Do you just go to church on Sunday? Same old grind. The preacher gets up and preaches the same old thing. You eat, you go out to the cafe. You stroll around somewhere, and the first thing you know, you're off down along the beaches. You're out in the world, out there in the corruption of the world. See, not in the kingdom of God at all. Not doing the things of God at all. Not interested in the things of God at all. Sitting in the front of a television from the time you get home from work until way over in the night, go to sleep, get up the next morning and start the same old routine all over again. See, and somebody said, don't interrupt me, Brother Pike. I like this kind of life. You know why you like that kind of life? Because you're of the devil. That's why you like that kind of life. The Bible said Satan savors the things that be of the world. And you're of the world and you're of the devil, so you like the things of the world. You like to do the things of the world. You might be religious and you might belong to some organization. You might belong to some religious affiliation, but you're not of God. You're not filled with God's Spirit. You're not filled with God's mind. You don't have the desire of God on the inside of your heart. You have the love of the world there. See, so all your religion affords you is just a routine. You're in a routine. You get washed and the old style goes back to a wallowing in the mire. You get the dog away from his vomit and he goes back to lapping his vomit. He's right back in the same old rut. But I'll tell you what, folks, the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It's time that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's time that you accepted the Word of God as your only means of guide, your rule and discipline in this life, as to a conformity of His own pleasure. It is time that you rerouted your life and went in a different direction. It's time that you quit thinking your own thoughts and begin to think the thoughts of Christ. It's time that you cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time that you rerouted your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. What do you mean, Brother Pike? It's time that we got up for God. It's time we was about our Father's business. It's time we got out of religion and the routines of religion and got into old-time godly service to God. Hallelujah. What we need to do is to get right with God. You know, when Brother Pike's preaching, we don't need to turn around and say, you know, there's such that backslid preacher. There he says, glory to God, I'm glad God brought him over here tonight. He needs to get straightened out. Hasn't done anything for God in years. Why, you hypocrite? I'm not preaching to the backslid preacher, I'm preaching to you. I'm telling you that you need to get your life straightened up. You might have been to blame for it. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, when you get right and I get right and she gets right and he gets right and they get right, then that backslid preacher will get right. You know, and we'll have a hallelujah time. So then why are we here today? To have another protracted meeting? Are we here just to have a little get together? Are we here just to hear a preacher scream and holler? Are we here just to have a gathering so we can have something to do? Or are we out here to worship God and try to find Christ and try to find the right way and try to lead somebody into the kingdom of God? Brethren, sisters in Christ, what are we doing? Do you know that the kingdom of God is at hand? Do you know the time is fulfilled? Do you know when we walk down the streets of Dolorosa, as I said the other night over in Jerusalem, as we walk down the streets of Dolorosa, where God sent us, there where Jesus drug his cross up the little street, there we went up that street screaming out to the top of our voice, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, hear ye the word of the Lord. For the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And here we are tonight over here in Cleveland screaming on this side of the ocean. The time is fulfilled. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Christ is on his way. What are we doing, folks? We need to be right with God. Don't look around and say something about somebody else. Don't start thinking about somebody else. Get this in your heart. Get this in your mind. Start thinking about your own self. What are you doing for God tonight? What did you do for God yesterday? What are you going to do for God tomorrow? What have you got in your heart as to plans for the Lord Jesus Christ? As to moving under the inspiration of the Spirit? At the being led of the Spirit by God's Spirit, by the Father, into the things that He desires you to do. What are you doing tonight? What is Brother Pike doing tonight? What's our plans tonight? Folks, are we making any effort to get right with God? Preachers that preach and preach and preach. They preach over the radio. They preach over the television. They preach to you in the magazine. They preach to you in the newspapers. They preach to you under tents. They preach to you on the street corners. They holler and scream. And you to tell you that the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. Not another day, not another time. You say, Brother Pike, one of these days God is coming. I'm going to meet him. And I'm going right into the lovely kingdom of God. But I want to tell you something tonight, beloved friend. That the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. Right now, God set for you and God set for me to repent and receive ye the kingdom of God. To bow down before Christ. Open our hearts before Christ and transform these minds into the wonderful Spirit of the Almighty God. God is telling us to do that tonight. He's telling us to do that tonight. Not tomorrow night, not the next night. He's telling us to do that tonight. He's telling you to humble your heart tonight. To bow your spirits before God tonight. He's telling you to be filled with the Holy Spirit this very night. God is speaking to you now. What have you got in your heart? What are you doing? What are your plans in your heart? Have you opened up your life to God? Have you opened up your heart to God? Have you done anything for God lately? Have you made any sacrifices for God lately? Somebody said, I've been to church 3 times this month, Brother Pye. Well, God bless your heart.
It'd be good if you could get born again, and then you'd learn how to go to church. What you need to do is get born again, then you'd learn how to go to church. Somebody said, 3 times, Brother Pike, I've been to church out of the whole month. Did you know that going to church is going to take you to heaven? Did you know that? Did you know sitting around looking for the coming of the Lord in the heavens isn't going to take you into heaven? You know, churches today, there's so many of them that's sitting around waiting for Thessalonians change, waiting for something to appear in the heavens. There's so many hundreds and thousands and millions of religious people from every walk of life sitting around waiting for the Lord to break the heavens. And they're expecting to go back with Him. Folks, it's true. One of these days He's going to break the heavens. And He's coming back. Do you know who He's coming back after? When He comes back, He's coming back for the Jews. He's coming back with the nail prints in His hand. Come on, folks! When the Lord comes back, He's coming back for the Jew. He's coming back with the nail prints in His hands. So that nation will be born in a day and all the earth shall see Him. All of the tribes of the earth shall mourn. The Bible said that they that crucified Him shall narrowly look upon Him. And those nails within Christ's hand, those Jews will see and they'll mourn for days because they rejected the Messiah. But beloved friend, did you know before that, the Bible said two would be in the bed, one taken and one left. Two in the field, one taken and one left. Did you know the Bible said before that He'd come like a thief in the night and steal away the jewels? Do you know that the time is fulfilled? That Christ is in the earth, that Christ is in the heart of men, and that Christ is seeking out His bride, and Christ is looking for those that will repent and receive you the kingdom of God. You know, we always think about going into the kingdom of God, going into the kingdom of God. But have you ever considered the fact that the kingdom of God is going to come into you? Did you know this is what overthrew the Jews? They kept thinking about the day that they was going to go into the kingdom of God, and their king was going to sit there and rule them. But Jesus confounded them. And Jesus said, folks, the kingdom of God don't come by observation. I say to you again, as I've said many times, Paul on the way to Damascus, he just saw one little bit of light from heaven and he became blind. Just one little bit of light and he became blind. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that when the great Ancient of Days, who comes forth with his hair as white as the wool, and the Bible said he sits upon the throne of judgment when that great, wonderful King comes. But all of the earth will flee away. Everything will flee away. The mountains will flee away. Everything will flee away. There won't be anything left. The brightness of His coming will even cause the sea to flee away, the mountains to flee away. The Bible said even the heavens shall flee away. And then we sit here expecting to see the kingdom of God. When God tells us something like that and we're still sitting here expecting to receive or to see the kingdom of God as it comes up there, how can we be so ignorant? How can we do those things? How can preachers preach day after day and not understand what God is saying? You mean to tell me that I'm standing here waiting to see that? Waiting to see that when that little bit of light blinded Paul? Folks, the kingdom of God's already here. The kingdom of God's already at hand. The time's already fulfilled. And God's already waiting for you to repent. God's wanting you to be translated into the kingdom of God. See, God's wanting to come into you. The kingdom of God is not by observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here's the kingdom, or lo, there's the kingdom. The Bible said the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's right down here. Jesus said when He came, no need to preach the kingdom of God way off up yonder somewhere. The Bible said down there, Philip was preaching the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. What do we need to preach? We need to preach the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Why should we preach the name of Jesus? Because Jesus, He is the wonderful way to the God. The way to the Father. It is in and through the name of Jesus that we get to the Father. No man can come unto the Father but by the Son of God. It's through the lovely name of Jesus. There's salvation in none other name but the name Jesus. So then why did they preach the name of Jesus and the kingdom of God? They preached the kingdom of God that you could get into it through the name of Jesus. That's the only way you can get to God. There's a great, wonderful name standing between you and God. And you can't get to God, you can't get to the Spirit, except through the Son of God and the blood of the Son of God and the name of the Son of God. That's the only way that you'll ever get to it, folks. That's why they preach the name of Jesus and the kingdom of God. So then we're preaching the name of Jesus. We're preaching the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God, Brother Pike? The kingdom of God is at hand. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within you. If you're a child of God, if you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, then it's not a matter of you going into the kingdom of God. It's a matter of the kingdom of God coming in you. The Bible said in flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Have you ever thought of the kingdom of God as an inheritance? You know how you get an inheritance if your father leaves you an inheritance? Have you ever thought of the kingdom of God as an inheritance? And the Bible said the kingdom of God is an inheritance. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you're in the flesh, then you cannot please God. If you're in the flesh, then you cannot please God. But you've got to get in the Spirit. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then tonight, here we are. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. The Bible said repent, repent, repent. How many of you repented? Let me see your hand tonight if you're really repented. The Bible said, and then after you repent, to be baptized, every one of you. Did you hear what I said? And the Bible said to be baptized, every one of you. Have you been baptized, beloved friend? Raise your hand. Have you? So he said, repent. So you said, I've repented. So he said, be baptized. And so you said, I've been baptized. But he said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you've repented. You've been baptized because you raised your hand. But was you baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin? You say, how do I know? Because the Bible said when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. At the upper coast of Ephesus up there, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, why, no. Said, we've not even heard whether there be so much as the Holy Ghost tonight. Under what baptism was you then baptized, Paul said? If you haven't received the Holy Ghost. They said, well, we were baptized under repentance. We're baptized under John's baptism. He said, don't you remember this sermon? John preached repentance. And John said, believe on the name. It's coming right behind me. You understand? Said, believe on the name. The name will be coming right along. It'll have salvation. It'll have remission of sin. I'm baptizing you under repentance. But the name is coming right along. Said, now, you believe on him that's yet to come. So they said, we believe Paul. And the Bible said, Paul rebaptized them in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. He laid hold on them, our hands on them, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Some spake in tongues, and some began to prophesy. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I'm sure they must enjoy that in their church. You know, and of course, we got a way we do it in our church, too. Sure you do. Sure you do. But the only thing is, the way you do it in your church don't have remission of sin. Because there's remission of sin in none other name but the name Jesus. Somebody said, well, we are aware of the name of Jesus, Brother Pike, and we think about the name of Jesus, and when we baptize, we think about the name of Jesus. But it didn't say nothing about you thinking about the name of Jesus. It said for you to be baptized in the name of Jesus, didn't it? It didn't say to think about the name of Jesus. It said for you to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I said it didn't say to think about the name of Jesus. It said for you to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know why some preachers won't mess with the name of Jesus? Because God will cast the devil out of them. Somebody say amen. You say, I'll have you to know, Brother Pike, we've got a doctrine. I know a doctrine of the devil. The Bible said they'll have doctrines of devils and have their conscience stirred up into the hot iron, forbidding to do the things that God commanded them to do. They don't want to mess with the name of Jesus, because devils would go out every window, out of every door. But oh, glory to God, I love the name of Jesus. Don't you love the name of Jesus? Brother, let me tell you, if you don't preach the name of Jesus, you don't have a ministry. Somebody said, I've got this great ministry, Brother Pike, on television and on radio, and I've got this great church. I want you to know tonight that you don't have a ministry if you don't preach the name of Jesus. You just got you some good thing going. and you got a lot of people supporting your cause. But, beloved friend, you don't have a ministry. Glory to God, I'm glad I can say that and I don't have to back up. Somebody said, well, you wouldn't say that in some parts of the world. I can say hallelujah, I've said it all over the world, every place that let me in. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name and you won't have it. You won't receive it. But if there comes a revival in another name, in another organization, if there comes the revival in another way, you'll receive it. Because the world loves its own. But beloved friends, salvation is in none of the name but the name Jesus. So then Jesus said, and the gospel is here, and the time is fulfilled, and this is the ministry, and this is the way. And I'm the way. Hallelujah. I'm the truth, and I'm the way. He said, repent ye and believe the gospel. Glory to God, repent ye and believe the gospel. I hope you'll go back and tell some of them preachers that I said they didn't have a ministry. Go back and tell them that Brother Pike said they didn't have a ministry. And glory to God, you tell them to come over here and have a little chat with me if they don't believe that they don't have a ministry. And I'll prove to them they don't have a ministry. I don't care who it is. Glory to God, send them by the dozens. It would suit me the better. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a good hand. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Amen. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you love Jesus? Can you say praise the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Somebody said praise the Lord. That's good. But let's say praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He didn't say there was salvation in the name of the Lord. Did it? Or the word Lord, did it? It didn't say that is true, it is in the name of the Lord. But it didn't say that, did it? It said in the name of Jesus. Salvation shall be taught in His name, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Glory to God, hallelujah. I'd have to have been there and seen Jesus walking along. My, what a time that would have been. What a thing that must have been to see that great man preaching the gospel. No man ever preached the gospel like Jesus preached the gospel. Hallelujah, tender, kind, loving, just running over with the love of God. And then the next minute, popping that whip and turning over the money table saying, get out of my Father's house, this is the house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves, you generation of vipers, Jesus said. How can you escape the damnation of hell, He said. Ooh, what's some more preaching? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, who was that doing all that preaching? That was love preaching. Jesus is love. God is love. That was love preaching. Love said, you bunch of hypocrites, get out of the church. Quit making their place of money changes to see who's going to get the biggest offering. He said, preach the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. And they preached the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Now, if I sound just a little bit excited, bear with me. You know, Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, what are we here for tonight? To lift up the name of Jesus. I said to lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give God another hand. Hallelujah. Can you stay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Can you believe the gospel tonight? Hallelujah. I want you to stand on your feet with me. Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe in the name of Jesus? Do you believe salvation to the name? Glory to God. Go back to your preacher and say, hey, preacher, why don't we talk about the name Jesus more? Say, why don't we talk about the name Jesus more? Hallelujah. And say, when I see you out there in the water baptizing, why don't you talk about it more while you're baptizing? Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God, we got a more sure word of prophecy. This makes me feel good all over. You know why? Because I know I am a son of God. And the Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. We know that we pass from death unto life. I can feel that thing on the inside of me. As I said the other night, not believing. If you believe, you do well. The devil believes. But brother, I'm talking about faith in God. In the latter times, in the last days, they'll depart from the faith. giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Spirits that will seduce them and take them away from the real gospel. But see, faith in the Word. And the man said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You know, if you like to hunt, that's what you believe in, that's what you do. If you believe in ball playing, that's what you do. If you believe in making money, that's what you do. If you believe in doing the other things that you ought not be doing, that's what you do. Isn't that right? So if you believe in the gospel, that's what you'll do. Hallelujah. If you believe in the Word, you'll do what the Word tells you to do. Isn't that right? He said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by what I'm doing. I'll do what I believe. And I'll believe what I'll do. And I'll show you that I believe this. Glory to God. But what I do, you'll know what I believe. So what do you believe? What do you believe tonight? You say, well, I believe the gospel. Well, the gospel says the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. Do you believe that? And the Bible said the kingdom of God is at hand. And Philip preached the kingdom of God. And Peter and Philip preached the name Jesus. And they were baptized in the name Jesus. 3,000 people. One day, 3,000 people heard the words of the preacher and was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. I challenge anybody in the world to show me where there's ever another church. Show me where there was ever another church. I tell you in the name of the Lord tonight. If the book of Acts where they baptized in the name of Jesus wasn't the fulfillment of Matthew's 28. I challenge anybody in the world to show me where it was fulfilled. It wasn't never fulfilled. If it wasn't fulfilled in the Acts of the Apostles, there in the second chapter, it wasn't never fulfilled. There is no record in the Bible anywhere where it was ever fulfilled. And if Matthew's 28 is the Great Commission was never fulfilled, we need to throw the Bible away and forget about the foolishness. That was the fulfillment of Matthew's 28. We need to get the preachers stirred up in the churches and make them stop their foolishness. The congregation needs to go to them and say, brother, you stop your foolishness. And you give me Bible and you give me verse and you show me this thing that you're preaching. Hallelujah. You know what it is? It's heresy. I'm going to say this and stretch out a little bit tonight. I'm going to say this and stretch out a little bit tonight. When it said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of God's Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. When it said that, let me say this again. If remission of sin was in the name Father, why did Jesus come into this world? Why did he have to die? Paul said to Peter over there, said, Peter, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. He said, if salvation is by the law, Jesus Christ died in vain. Right. Folks, if salvation is in the name Father, Jesus Christ died in vain because we had fathers before he ever come. And if salvation is in the name Son, Jesus Christ died in vain because we had the Son, the name Son, before Jesus ever came into the world. And if salvation is in the name Holy Spirit, which is the original rendering, our Holy Ghost, then Jesus Christ died in vain, because the Bible speaks of the Holy Ghost being with the prophets before Jesus ever came into the world. So then, there must be something different. The Bible said that salvation is in none other name except the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, lest you be born of the water and the Spirit, ye shall not even see the kingdom of God. And they preached repent, and they preached the name of Jesus. And in Acts, the second chapter, they baptized them in the name of Jesus. And in Acts, the 10th chapter, they baptized them in the name of Jesus. And in Acts 19, they baptized them in the name of Jesus. And on and on and on. Everywhere they baptized them in the name of Jesus. Why in the name of reasoning did they go so contrary to God's teaching? The Lord Jesus Christ himself met them in Matthew 28. There, and he said, go to Jerusalem, tarry, till you be endued with power from on high. And said, go preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And they went straight and done what the Lord said. Amen. Peter being the chief leader, He went and done exactly what God said to him to do. What did he do, Brother Pike? Baptized 3,000 people in the name of Jesus. You tell me that he disobeyed God. You tell me that he broke the scripture. You tell me that he dishonored the Lord Jesus Christ when God said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Peter went and baptized every one of them in the name of Jesus. Folks, let me tell you something. If Peter had the keys to the kingdom and he broke the command of God, we better get out of this foolishness. I'll tell you right now, that's some more foolishness. If God Almighty tells Peter to go do one thing and gives him the keys and Peter goes and does another, this is some more foolishness. I'm telling you. But you know what it was? Old brother Peter, Jesus said, who am I, Peter? He said, you're the Christ. That's who you are. He said, go baptize him in my name, Peter. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. And old brother Peter got up and he said, folks, with wicked hands you've taken and crucified the Lord of glory. Somebody said, well, that was for them Jews, Brother Pike. They wouldn't accept Jesus, but we accepted him. I don't know about that. It sounded to me like they accepted him. You didn't accept him. Amen. The Bible said they're going to moan and they're going to cry when they see the nail prints. But some of you, the Bible said, it's going to be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth in hell. Somebody said that was just Jews. You know, that was just the Jews. Well, then if that was the Jews over there, when 3,000 was added unto the church, you know that wasn't the Jews. But if that was the Jews, then what about them folks down at Cornelius's? What about them folks down there? Down at Cornelius's, that was the Gentiles. He opened the door to the Gentiles. He opened the doors to the Jews too. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, now this is the way it is. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you don't have to do that. How do you know you got the Holy Ghost? Well, I know I've got the Holy Ghost. I've had the Holy Ghost for 18 years. How do you know you got the Holy Ghost? Well, I dance and I shout and I speak in tongues, Brother Pike. What does that mean? Balaam prophesied and saw Christ with the Lord with his eyes open, and the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness, and God had him killed, called him a soothsayer. Saul was the king. Went up to Ramoth Gilead with murder in his heart and prophesied. What's that got to do with it? He said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, it doesn't matter whether you received the Holy Ghost or have received the Holy Ghost. That wasn't what the Bible said. Here's what the Bible said. Peter preached, and the gospel came, and the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard it. And these received the Holy Ghost. And after that, they had the Holy Ghost. Peter said, here's some water. Get baptized in Jesus' name. Come on, folks. The Bible said down there when Philip was preaching, he preached the name of Jesus. And they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And then the apostles came and laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter before or after. You're supposed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. That's the pleasure of God and the minister. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted, for if my Father send me, so send I you. And if that is right, then that preacher had the power to remit your sins. And the Bible said, and remission is in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said, you're baptized for the remission. So if the one that does remitting takes the name in which the remitting is in, and then goes to the water by which they're remitted and put them all together, you know what he's done? Hallelujah. Judgment begins at the house of God. It's not the preacher speaking, but it's God within him. And according to them words that come out of there, according to the way you believe them words, your faith in that, beloved friend, will save you. You'll do what he told you to do. So then 3,000 was added unto the church, and there the great commission was fulfilled of Matthew 28. Nothing confusing about it at all. 3,000 people were added to the church, and here we are with the church. How many believe this is the church? Hallelujah. You've got the church today. Got the church. Come on, folks. Got the church today. Got the church. Brother Lynn, you ready to be sprinkled? This is the church. How many believe this is the church? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You love the Lord? I say, Brother Conrad, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Everything's all right. No. No, he won't come like that. Said, be baptized, and then he'll come and fill you. Isn't that right? Said, when he comes, he'll come in the name Father. No. He'll come in the name Son.
No.
He'll come in the name Holy Ghost. No. It's the Holy Ghost that comes. When he comes, he'll come in my name, Jesus. Glory to God, it's my spirit. When Brother Conrad's spirit comes back, if he departs, his life is in the name of Conrad. If Brother Pike's spirit comes back, it's in the name of Brother Pike. And when Jesus' spirit comes back, it's in the name of Jesus. Amen. Christ, the Holy Ghost. That is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. When he comes, he'll come in my name. He'll testify of me. Glory to God, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. Do you believe that? Well, praise the Lord. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you see, I've already been baptized. I had to. I was baptized in the Baptist church. Good baptism. They done a good job. They dunked me good and put me under grill good. And then after that, I was rebaptized. How was you baptized, Brother Pike? I was baptized in the Church of God, one of the finest organizations in the world, and the Baptist is also one of the finest. And they put me under real good in the state of Nebraska. But it still didn't work. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. It's okay. It's okay. Don't get excited. It's okay. I've done this before, and it worked out all right. So then, it didn't work like that. But one day, God spoke to me. You know, God spoke to me. You know, like a man, I told him one time, this man was a great preacher. Oh, me a great preacher? Brother Pike, don't you see all these people gathered out here to hear me? And my, there's a flock of them. I mean, that place was filled up. He had a reputation. What's that got to do with it? Have you ever seen the Pope and his gathering? You ever seen Billy Graham and his gathering? What's that got to do with the Word of God? You ever seen the baseball fans and their gathering? What's that got to do with the Word of the Lord? So then he said, me? I said, yeah. Off he went. That was the last of it, he thought. But it wasn't long, and I saw him again. And he said, you know what? He said, I went my way. And he said, and I had a vision. And he said, in this vision, I was standing up on a great platform, a great tower. He said, and while I was standing up there, he said, looking over here was a great vat of water. And over here was another vat of water. He said, and I looked, and there stood the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you know what the man said? Tell him to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I've had him to do this. They said, well, Brother Pike, I believe either way will do, you know. That is, you can be baptized this way, you can be baptized that way. And I, besides that, Brother Pike, I really don't see where you got to be baptized at all. Are you listening now? I'm just going to take a few more minutes. I don't really see where you need to be baptized at all. Why did Paul baptize him over? They'd already been baptized. Why did he baptize them over? They'd already been baptized. If it's a matter of dipping you in water, why didn't he leave them alone? He had better things to do than go around and dip people in water. Don't you believe he did? See, it wasn't the water that was the name. That water was just a grave. This man said, Brother Pike, I stood there on that platform, and I heard the Lord God of heaven say to me, he said, here's the vat of water over here. I won't call the man's name. Said he called his name. Said, over here, so they just baptize them any way they want to be baptized. Said, over here's another vat of water. He said, now over here they baptize them in my name. Said, how would you like to be baptized? What do you think that man done? What do you think that man done? Brother, he come out from there and was baptized in the name of Jesus. And preached it with boldness like a lion. The name of the Son of God. Remission of sin is the name in the name of the Son of God. Can you imagine on the day of judgment, me being a preacher, or some other preacher standing there before the Lord God of heaven, and there the Lord God of heaven stands, or sits upon the throne, and the Lord looks at me, or looks at another preacher, and said, well, did you do what I told you to do? Oh, yes, I've done exactly what you said, Lord. You did? Said, did you baptize the people? Oh, I didn't think that was necessary. And the Lord says, you mean to tell me that I'm God? I'm God that made heaven and earth. I'm God. You're looking at God. And I made me a human body. And I took time from my great works of heaven to go down in a muddy river to be baptized to leave you an example and told you to follow in my steps. And you stand there and tell me that you don't think it's necessary to be baptized. And you say because you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're some professional man over here, that you're too busy, you can't afford to go down there. You know, and besides that, the rivers are too muddy. But if you remember, the only way that that leper ever got clean was going down to that muddy river. Hallelujah. He said, look, he said, there's a great reproach to that. Why, them name of Jesus people, them folks over there said, that's a great reproach. Why not go down the rivers of Fafar over here? We've got lots of organizations that people don't reproach. He said, I know, but the virtue ain't there. The virtue ain't there. That prophet looking down through the telescope of time, he didn't see those other organizations. He didn't see those rivers of clear streams. He seen God Almighty in a human body go down to the muddy river Jordan. That's where the virtue was. And the prophet said, if you want to get clean, you better go down there to that river. Hallelujah. If you want to get straight, folks, you better get down there in the name of Jesus. You better get down there in the name of Jesus. These other religions that you can just be social in, these other social fly-by-night situations, glory to God. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, them's churches. I know, but he give them a new name. He said they're a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Hallelujah. Every kind of spirit. All because they don't preach the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now somebody said, Brother Pike, you said you was going to, you know, you wanted us to stand up. I didn't say nothing but to stand up because I was standing up. I've been standing up all this time. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you say glory to God? Glory to God? Folks, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, go get baptized in the name of Jesus. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, go get filled with the Holy Ghost. Go back to your church and tell your preacher. Say, glory to God, preacher. I'm a better member than I've ever been in all my life. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and I've been baptized in the name of Jesus. And he'll say, we'll talk about this later. Now, don't get excited. I think you got beside yourself. I can explain every bit of this. I can explain every bit of this. Say, well, glory to God, preacher. I'm glad to hear you say that because the fellow down yonder said he'd like for you to explain it to him. And I would like to run you over there where he's at. Hallelujah. You know, I've got preachers. I've had preachers that got so mad to me with me they could wring my neck. I've had them sitting right down beside me and they were almost ready to maul me. I said, well, glory to God, it doesn't matter how mad you get and how bad off you are when you get through it. Still the name of Jesus. And you know what they've done? They spewed and they've had a fit just about it and was ready to maul me with their fist and finally something would break the yoke. And they'd say, baptize me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand, can we? Jesus always wins out, don't he? Well, hallelujah. The time is fulfilled. It is time to gather all things in heaven and earth into the lovely Jesus, into the lovely name of Jesus. It's time. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Folks, let me say this to you, and I'm not going to try to elaborate. I am going to let you go. This meeting up here has great significance. Great significance. This is a great, outstanding thing here. God didn't just pitch this little tent here for nothing. God could have put a $10,000 tent here. Oh, I don't know about that, Brother Pye. I don't know. We got one that cost about $50,000. Probably cost you $100,000 to get the equipment. We could have set that one up here. Got one about 120 feet, three pole, about 60 feet wide. We could have set that up here. Got another about 220 feet, five pole, 140 feet wide. We're going to set that up here. Could have set one up here 140 by 40, 140 by 140. But God wanted this little tent. I just felt sure He did. And I've been real happy about it. I thank God Jesus was born in a manger. He humbled Himself to find out His friends. He wants to find out if He's got any friends in this area. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How do you believe that? Humble yourself. Make sure you're a friend. A man that's got money has got a lot of friends. Glory to God. How have you heard a friend of Jesus? The song said, I'll be a friend to Jesus. Okay. We're going to sing a little chorus here. Fellowship with you just for a few minutes. And then we're going to let you go. I like that water. The rich man lifted up his eyes and hell, he wanted just a little bit of water. I drink a lot of water. All right, let's sing this together. You that are outside the tent, come on in here, folks. Come on in here. Come on in here. Come on in here. You're outside the tent. Come on in here. Hallelujah. Come on in. Come on in, folks. The shadows are falling. Night's coming. The light is in the house. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and love Him, can you? Praise God. You got here just in time to get your picture took. Hold your hands up and let's love God tonight, can you? Hold your hands up and let's love God tonight. Can you do that? Can you give God a wave offering tonight with your hands? Can you praise the Lord while you wave your hands tonight? Can you tell Him how much He means to you? Can you give God a hand tonight? Can you do that? Can you praise the Lord? Can you praise the Lord? Ain't you glad that Jesus loves you tonight? Don't you love Him tonight? Aren't you willing to testify for Him tonight? Go into the world and tell about Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you tonight. Jesus loves you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory! I believe you love the Lord tonight. I believe you love the Lord tonight. I believe that you're getting ready to meet God. I believe some of you are cleaning up your lives and making different adjustments. And I believe that you're getting ready to meet God tonight. If you're getting ready to meet God, say praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. Glorify God tonight. Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Let's give God a great hand tonight. Can we do that? Hallelujah. I want you to lift up your hands tonight and close your eyes. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, your Son, I ask you the forgiveness of my sins, my Father. I ask you the forgiveness of these people's sins, Father. And God, I know that in the name of Jesus there is no sin. I know that the lovely Son of God is without fault. And I ask in His name tonight for you to heal these people. May your Spirit tonight, God, heal these people. May your power come down tonight, God, and may you heal these people. May your great, wonderful presence be here. Oh, God of heaven, I ask of Thee tonight to heal, Father. May these people believe tonight. Every person, God, that's got an ailment tonight. Every person that's got a loved one tonight. Every person that desires your presence tonight. God, that desires salvation tonight. May the yoke be broken, Father. May you stretch forth your lovely hand to heal. God, I want you to heal tonight. Hallelujah, I want you to heal tonight. God, I want you to heal tonight. I feel your healing right now. I feel faith, Father, coming from some of these people tonight. I pray, God, that your Spirit would be here tonight and these people would receive that great, wonderful healing touch tonight. God, that they'll go away from here whole tonight. May they decree this thing in their heart tonight, Father, that they may be healed tonight. May they believe tonight for their loved ones, Heavenly Father. Lift up your hands and praise God tonight. Lift up your hands and praise God tonight. Lift up your hands and praise God tonight. Hallelujah. Glory.